One of the things that I find so distasteful about politics is being treated like I'm stupid. Being lied to is a bad thing. I don't like it at all. I don't like it when I feel like I'm being manipulated. But when I'm treated also like I'm stupid, like I can't see the most obvious things, like I can't figure out anything at all, like the mushroom. And when I say me, I mean euphemistically, the American public, all of us. When we're all treated like we're literally stupid and can't figure out the most basic elementary of things, that just adds another level of agitation. But when you overlay that on top of outright intentional lies, and then you want to sprinkle in with some salt and pepper a little bit of intentional deception. Look over here. Look at this shiny thing while I'm doing something over here that works to your disadvantage. Then you have a perfect storm. Now, I didn't intend to even make a show today. I was going to finally take a day off because there's so many things have been happening here, and it takes a lot to put these shows together. It takes a lot of emotional energy, et cetera. And you need some time to just kind of decompress a little bit. I intended to do that, but then I saw a video today that I had not seen. It was actually made on the 12th of November, so last Wednesday, on the day that the federal government shutdown came to an end. And Caroline Leavitt, White House spokeswoman, went to the podium to explain just exactly what happened and whose fault that this was and what the consequence was. So really driving hard the point that yes, this was the Democrats' fault. It's caused all kinds of trouble. And now then we're going to move on from here, but it's going to be hard and we're going to have to try to figure this out. What you're going to see here, and let's just take one more category thing that's irksome, is that you're going to see a complete and total abdication of leadership responsibility. Donald Trump is the president of the United States. I am sick and tired of hearing how whatever issue you want to be talking about here was somebody else's fault. This happened, it was the previous administration. And I've been sick of this, by the way, for a long time. I kept just rolling my eyes every time Obama, for the first six of his 8 years, always blamed everything on George Bush. And I'm sure Bush did the same thing for Clinton. Maybe it's been going on forever, but it seems like it's really, in my adult lifetime, really turned into a big issue. Now then, it's just on steroids here. Everything that happened, Trump loves and makes it an overt point of blaming it on Joe Biden before him. Everything. I'm tired of hearing that. You're the president. You are the president. Nobody else. Doesn't matter what kind of mess you had, that's part of the job. Every single office holder always has to deal with whatever came before it. That's just fundamentally how the system works. You don't need to tell me that. I got it. That's usually why someone is hired, because they don't like the voting population didn't like what came before then. Just get on with it and do your job. Okay, so without any further ado, let's just jump into it. Let me show you what exactly is that caused my angst here. And there's a number of things that are going to be said here, which I think need to be pointed out. But note first of all, who gets blamed for this, and then see if you can detect what's hidden in the middle of this.
According to a CBO estimate, the Democrat shutdown could end up decreasing fourth quarter economic growth by 2 whole percentage points. The Democrat shutdown made it extraordinarily difficult for economists, investors, and policymakers at the Federal Reserve to receive critical government data. The Democrats may have permanently damaged the federal statistical system, with October CPI and jobs reports likely never being released. And all of that economic data released will be permanently impaired, leaving our policymakers at the Fed flying blind at a critical period. It's hard to recap all of this without asking a simple question: why? Why have the Democrats put the American people through this pain for 43 days in a row? And it feels like Groundhog Day being up here again talking about this Democrat shutdown. And the answer to that question is pure partisan politics. They started this shutdown with a ridiculous demand to force taxpayer-funded healthcare benefits to illegal aliens who broke into our country.
Okay. Remember this, we're going to come back to this. That the whole thing started, so she says, was because Democrats wanted to give federal funds to illegal immigrants. Let's continue on.
Even after it was clear President Trump and Republicans would never force American taxpayers to pay for free healthcare for illegals, in fact, President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill fixed that problem, The Democrats kept dragging this reckless government shutdown on for weeks longer to boost their turnout in an election, perhaps one may guess. That's because the Democrats are totally captured by their far left-wing base who only care about attacking President Trump, even if it means hurting innocent Americans in our country. The Democrats' weakness and their unwillingness to buck the fringe members of their party dragged this harmful shutdown on for 7 weeks and inflicted massive pain onto the American public.
Okay. Yeah. So it's all the Democrats' fault. That's the thing you need to remember there. But let's take a look at some of the things she said here. She says that there was permanent damage done, and that a CBO report came out and said that permanent damage had been done to the economy. We could lose 2% of GDP in the fourth quarter. That's a huge number. And it's like, wow, that is really crazy. Now, we're going to get to who she blamed in a minute, but let's take a look at that first, because like, wow, that's pretty substantial. That is a huge number here that the shutdown is going to cause that much damage. Now, let's don't miss walk past even before we get into that detail. You know, the Democratic shutdown. Okay, she blames it on this issue of she claims that it was the whole thing happened because the Democrats tried to ram down the Republicans' throat, who, by the way, have the majority in the House, the Senate, and the White House, and somehow the minority party that has control over none of those things forced anything down the Republicans. More on that in a minute. But the claim being that the Republicans were powerless. No, the Republicans were never powerless. This is one thing one of the lies that has been throughout this whole thing that needs to be addressed even before I get to that economic report, that the claim being that the Republicans, their hands were tied. They could do nothing. No, they could have done something. They could have negotiated this issue. They could have said, okay, we'll talk about these ACA extensions, which was the real issue the Democrats were wanting to talk about. But even if you want to claim that it was this other thing, okay, then talk about it. So you could say, all right, we will have this discussion and then we'll do the extension. So they wanted the Republicans wanted a clean CR, continuing resolution. They didn't have any of these other issues in it. The Democrats said, no, we want these issues in it. Okay, you could have said, all right, we'll discuss them. We'll talk about them. We'll agree to just to talk about them. We'll put them on the table. But instead, the Republicans categorically would not put it on the table. So they put the onus 100% on the Democratic side. And as I've said in several videos before, the Democrats do deserve some blame on some of this. And they could also have done some things. This went on a lot longer than it needed to. Both parties deserve blame. But the Republicans are trying to have zero blame. They're trying to say, no, we did nothing wrong. It's 100% these other guys. And that's a lie. It's just categorically untrue. So they could have done a lot. And again, that just even at face value, that shows that you're powerless. Are you really wanting to make the case that the Republican Party is so pathetic and weak that they can't even get the government open? They can't even negotiate anything here. You've probably all seen that video of President Trump during the 2013 shutdown where he blamed the president. All you have to do, he said, is just negotiate this out. Implying that if he'd have been the president, he could figure this out in a minute. You just get people together and talk and all this kind of stuff. And then now here it is, and he literally makes no effort and then just wants to blame the other side. So the Republican Party is claiming that it is powerless to negotiate anything, even to get something turned on. And they just want to say, I'm not going to do anything, going to put their hands in their pocket. All of the House of Representatives are going to go home and not even work. Not only did they not talk about anything else, they didn't talk about anything else. They didn't do any other work for the American people. It was pathetic. That's your House of Representatives. That's what, even in the story the Republican spokesperson is telling, exposes that they are pathetically weak and have no leadership capability at all. Don't miss that. And again, if you're a dyed-in-the-wool Republican, you need to be paying attention to this. Is this the kind of leadership you want for your party that can't get anything done for you? That's the first issue. Now we get into the lies, though. This is a real problem here. So she mentioned there in that comment that this CBO report said that, you know what, 2% GDP in the fourth quarter, just terrible. All right, well, let's take a look and see what that report said, because this is the report that she's referring to. The Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, on October 29th came out and said they looked at three scenarios, a four-week scenario of a government shutdown, a six-week scenario, and an 8-week scenario. As you know, it was 6 weeks plus one day. So whatever this is going to tell you, the estimates are going to be for the 6-week scenario. Well, let's come down and see where she got that 2% point. Let me roll all the way down here to where you get into some of the details. The agency estimates that the annualized growth rate for the real GDP in the fourth quarter of 2025 would be lower by 1 percentage point in the 4-week scenario shutdown, 1.5 percentage points in the 6-week scenario, and 2% in the 8-week scenario. Okay, so first of all, just on the surface of it right there, you see, all right, well, she said 2%, but that's only in the 8-week scenario. She was speaking after it came to an end, and we know for sure it was the 6-week scenario. So it would have been the 1.5 at anything. So you're like, okay, all right, well, she exaggerated there, but whatever, I get the point. So that's what it was. So there was. The estimate is going to be that there was a 1.5 percentage point annualized shutdown and a reduction in the real growth of GDP. But unfortunately, it didn't stop there. She did. We won't. In the first quarter of 2026, as federal spending continued to rebound following the resumption of funding after the shutdown, real GDP growth would be boosted by 1.4% to 2.2 percentage points and 3.1 percentage points in the three scenarios, respectively, i.e., in the one that actually happened, it was 1.5 percentage points in this, you see right here, 1.5 percentage points in the 6-week scenario. And then in the rebound, there would be a 2.2% growth. She didn't say anything about that. The effect on the annualized growth, quarterly growth rate of real GDP, that is how fast real GDP increased compared to how fast it would have been in the absence of a shutdown, would be larger after the federal funding resumed because the output would be temporarily higher than it would otherwise have been. After the first quarter of 2026, the temporary boost in the level of GDP would diminish as output returns to the level it would have been in the absence of a shutdown. Therefore, what the bottom line is here, folks, is that there would be basically no effect at all. It would be a small amount of negative growth, very small, in the event that there hadn't been any scenario at all. There hadn't been any government shutdown. So she told you that because of the Democratic shutdown, GDP growth has been damaged by 2%. It's estimated to have been 1.5%, not 2. But then she completely left out of the story that it's then going to go up 2.2% in what actually happened. So 1.5 to 2.2% in the next growth because of the spurt. So because with all this activity being frozen, so GDP, the numbers would come down because things weren't getting spent, things weren't getting paid for. There was, according to this report, also 1.2 million total government workers, some that were working without pay, some that were not allowed to work also without pay. So you're talking about 1.2 million federal workers that were not getting paid. Therefore, they weren't spending money. They weren't going to the mall. They weren't paying their mortgage, all that kind of stuff. So all of that is being told that it's going down, and she lied. It then went up. So the net would be just a slight bit, but she wanted you to believe that the Democrats were responsible for this loss. So she lied to you. Do you understand that? Are you okay with that? I'm not. I'm not okay with the spokesman for the White House telling everybody that there would be a 2% loss in GDP when there won't. Now then that the government's back on, we're now in the process of the surge. I would wager a lot of money that she won't come to the podium next week and say, hey, great news. Now economic output is going faster because the government is shutdown is over. Although I guess maybe she would. They might try to lie to that too and say, well, now then because of the Republicans figured out how to get this thing over with, now then the thing's going good. I guess she could say that, but it's a lie. Make sure you're aware that whatever comes out later, that's the truth. So you're being treated like you're an idiot. This is all the Democrats' fault and that they caused this loss of economics impact. That's not all she said, though. You know, it's funny. She said what this is, she goes to that whole why thing. She says why? Because it's pure partisan politics. That's the one thing she said that's right. It is pure partisan politics. Because each side wanted to blame the other, and that's all they wanted to do. The Republicans claimed that they wanted to help the American people. The Democrats claimed they wanted to help the American people, and yet both were willing to let the government shut down, and at least 1.2 million total government workers were affected, and all of the people in the country were affected that depend on their actions. You had, of course, the SNAP benefits, and that completely threw into to chaos millions of Americans, multiple millions. And then, of course, the biggest issue still remains this ACA subsidy issue. That was not resolved by getting the government back open. That was just kicked down the can till the 30th of January. There's going to be apparently the Senate promised that they would hold a vote on the ACA. We know very, very likely how that's going to turn out, since the Republicans are adamant that they hate the ACA and don't like the subsidies. The House of Representatives hasn't even agreed yet to have a vote. And without that, it doesn't even matter what the Senate has to do. So that likely means that we're still probably heading back to another shutdown of the 30th. The chances are very high. Somebody's going to have to make some major, major concessions to avoid a shutdown then. Or both sides are going to be content with just letting the ACA subsidies skyrocket for literally tens of millions of Americans. We'll see how that works out. But the other thing, though, I want to get to here is this issue here where she said why. And that issue where she's going, why was this? Well, she says that, let me see if I can even run back. I want to show that again because I want to keep that one fresh in your mind here. She says the reason was, let's see if I can find it, somewhere around here, I believe.
Period. It's hard to recap all of this without asking a simple question. Why? Why have the Democrats put the American people through this pain for 43 days in a row? And it feels like Groundhog Day being up here again talking about this Democrat shutdown.
Real important what's coming up here.
The answer to that question is pure partisan politics. They started this shutdown with a ridiculous demand to force taxpayer-funded healthcare benefits to illegal aliens who broke into our country. Even after it was clear President Trump and Republicans would never force American taxpayers to pay for free healthcare for illegals, in fact, President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill fixed that problem, the Democrats kept dragging this reckless government shutdown on for weeks longer to boost their turnout in an election.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is that's not what happened, not what they said at all. It was never about that. It was about the ACA issues. The Democrats went ad nauseum to say this is not about giving federal funds to illegal immigrants. It's against the law. It's been against the law since President Clinton made it into law. It's never changed anywhere in there. Now, there was one small category where there was, let's see, what's the best way to put it? A kind of a gray zone category that was involved here. I'm going to show you that in just a second because I want to be total transparent here. But this is what was twisted to mean something very different. But this also, her claim there completely obliterates the fact that the Democrats were emphatic about saying this is about the ACA subsidies, because the amount of cost, I think it was, I think the current estimate right now is that the average person on these ACA subsidy or on the ACA healthcare pays about $888 a month for healthcare for their family. It's incredible. $888. It's projected to go up starting on January 1st to $1,900 on average per family. So from upper 800s to 1,900. So a little more than double is what it's expected for the average family. Some will be a little less, some will be even more. It's going to knock some people out of coverage. They can't afford it. Some people are going to lose it, or some people are going to have their home finances severely damaged if nothing happens here. That is what has animated the Democratic Party. You cannot like that. You can be against the ACA, but you owe it to the American people to just tell the bloody truth. Say, the Democrats want this ACA stuff. We think it's a bad plan. We have a better plan. If you had one, then say that, but don't lie and say this crazy idea, which she emphasized there, that you want to give illegal immigrants money. That phrase there is important. Illegal immigrants. That's what she said. Let me show you what the Democrats actually did say and what let's see. Yeah, this one right here. This is what the Democrats actually were saying. Now, this is from NBC News, where they were doing an analysis on what the Democrats actually were holding out for. Watch this.
here. A total of 1.4 million people who are considered lawfully present, people like refugees and asylees, people on a temporary protected status or TPS, DACA recipients. These are, again, people the government has said are allowed to stay in the country, perhaps have work permits for now. They're not subject to deportation orders. The Republican argument sort of conjures this image of people who are storming over the border and immediately signing up for Medicaid or Obamacare. That is not how any of this works. That is not what Democrats are trying to allow. That is not what current law does allow, all the way going back to 1996, a law signed by Bill Clinton prohibits any federally funded health care benefits from going to people in this country illegally. Democrats are not trying to change that. What they are trying to do is reverse a piece of President Trump's so-called Big Beautiful Bill that would take away health care eligibility for those 1.4 million people who are, again, lawfully present in the country.
That's the key right there, that this is people who are lawfully in the country. Now, you can disagree with that. It's fair, policy wise. Well, if you're not already a citizen, you can argue that they shouldn't be given any government benefits. That's what you can argue. And in fact, that was the case. And so that's, I think, the Big Beautiful Bill took that away. The Democrats were saying, we want that put back in. So it's about 1.1 million people. That's a fair debate. Each side can have its pros and cons. They can say it. But what you can't do is lie. And you heard Carolyn Leavitt there lied. You can't put it any other way. There's no better way to put it. It's not an exaggeration. It's an intentional manipulation of a statement that contradicts what she knows to be true. And that is that it's this one category. That category right there is one category of people who are lawfully in the country, i.e. not illegal aliens, not people who are undocumented, which she said, and she knows that's not true. She knows that's not true, but they mischaracterized it to make it sound as bad as possible. And then she ignored all the things about the American people. There are, I think the number is 40 million people who are on the ACA, and their premiums are going to skyrocket if something isn't done before January 1st. And instead of even mentioning any of those people, just imagine if you're one of them, and maybe you are, maybe some of the people watching this video are in that group. This government and a majority from one study I saw, said that a majority of the people who were affected by that are Republicans. Do you want your government to sit there and blast the party? Let's just assume that you don't like the Democrats, or you'd be one. So you're yay, you cheered that on. Yay, say bad things about the Democrats. But do you want them to say yay, bad things about the Democrats that harm you and that will force you to either lose health care or significantly damage your economic situation for your family, cause you to have to figure out what you're not going to buy, where you're not going to put your money, just because they don't want to tell the truth? And they don't want this situation to be fixed. And instead of fixing it while they have time, instead of negotiating with the government open, no, they only want to do this. In fact, they don't want to do it at all, actually. That's the better way to put it. They don't want to do it at all, so they pretend it doesn't exist, and then they lie to the American people, all of us, and tell us, oh, it's just about illegal aliens, and they're trying to get all these funded. And then, of course, that was a talking point, and I mean everybody in the Republican Party got on board. It wasn't just Caroline Leavitt, and it's all been a lie. Listen, I get it. You don't like the Democratic Party if you're a Republican. But do you want to cheer that on at your own demise and your own harm? And listen, that job report that was mentioned in there, at least I'm pretty sure it was mentioned in that clip, but in her comments there on that press conference on the 12th, they mentioned there that there won't be a job report or a CPI, that's the Consumer Price Index report, for this month, for October, because she blamed that on the shutdown. She says, no, the reason why we're not going to have that is because of the shutdown. And now then she says it has so damaged the system, we may never get it back on again. And that is a lie too. Because I've been through a shutdown. In 2013, I was an active duty soldier in Washington, D.C. area, where we had a large number of civilians that were working too. And they were all furloughed during the shutdown there. It was 16 days. I remember how chaotic and disruptive that was, and that wasn't even a fraction of what this current one was, so it's even more damage done. I know what that's like, and I know how hard it is, but you dig out from under it. lots of problems caused, lots of damage. Man, don't minimize that. It is very, very chaotic and disruption to every federal agency, to include those who do the CPI, the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So yeah, there was some harm done there. But see, she's like, we're not even going to talk about it. We're not even going to mention it. She said, it's been, in fact, it might be permanent damage. We might never get this again. You don't understand, like the CPI report, that's where we get a snapshot of how the American people are spending, what it's costing them to buy a basket of goods. So you have a good idea of what inflation's doing. Now, this whole blue wave that happened Tuesday before last, where, Mamdani was elected in New York, the Virginia and North Carolina, New Jersey governors were both elected from the Democratic Party, Prop 50 out in California, a bunch of other stuff in some of the southern states, all went Democrats. And one of the key reasons is they were tired of what the Republicans are doing and the issues on economics. And now then, what you're trying to get done now is the administration is to try to hide all that. We're not going to tell you what's going on, and we're going to blame the shutdown for it. So we're going to hide economic data that's not good. And now we're going to say, well, we may never know, because the damage done by those Democrats, again, blame the Democrats with no evidence, but just a lot of people don't like them. So we'll blame that on them and say it will never get done. Let me just strip that away for you. That's ridiculous. That's absurd. That's patently untrue. And it's insulting to the people who work for the Bureau of Labor and Statistics. They can get this work out there. They're not stupid. They didn't suddenly lose the ability to work or think. Their computers didn't all melt down while they weren't there. Of course they can do it. They can go back in. All that stuff was suspended for 43 days. They can go back on starting on the 44th day, pick right back up where they left off and have it. It can be delayed. It'll be there. It is flat out a lie, a terrible lie. I'm so tired of this. And do you think we're stupid? You think we can't figure out that somebody can't go to work after being taken out of the package for 43 days and kept out of their office and kept away from their computer? And they can't just go back on the next day, do the job, all that work. It didn't go anywhere. No one hit the delete key while they were gone. Those Democrats didn't sneak in one night and hit the delete key. I mean, come on, man. No one did that. I mean, that's absurd to suggest. So that tells me that you're hiding something. That tells me that you don't want this economic data out there. And listen, we've already had some issues with this. Remember this administration. Remember back in August when, what was her name? Erica McIntyre. You remember her, the one that was in charge of statistics, who put out a jobs report in August for July that said only 73,000 jobs were created. And you remember what happened? Trump was really angry about that. And he said, "Oh, it's a hoax. It's fake news. Of course, that's not right. She's cheating. She's a holdover from Biden. So she's terrible, and she's trying to make me look bad." So he fired her, just got her out of there completely. Remember that? That's from the Bureau of Labor and Statistics as well. She didn't give the right answer. You know what didn't get as much headlines though? Is whoever he got to do the job after she was fired came back, I think it was a month or two later, to adjust it, because when those numbers come out, they're always in a temporary one or an estimate. And then when more and more data comes in and they can refine them, this happens all the time, I think every month, then they put out revised numbers. Sometimes they're up, sometimes they're down. Well, in this case, it went down. It went from 73,000 to 22,000. So we know that the jobs, so whatever, he was upset about 73,000. He thought it should have been a lot more, because he didn't like those small numbers, and it was actually 22,000. Wasn't the fault of the person who reported the numbers. She just reported whatever was there. And then now, whoever you put in there lowered it by almost, or no, not almost, by 51,000 less. And why wouldn't that person fire? So now then, in addition to the CBI report, we also have the jobs numbers that are also allegedly not going to come out and may have permanent damage to the system without explaining to why. Again, don't give her a pass here. Nobody in the issue or the press conference that I'm aware of, I didn't see the whole thing, but I certainly didn't see it reported, ask her, what do you mean permanently damaged? Did all the computers just disintegrate? Did somebody go in there with a sledgehammer and start smashing hard drives? I mean, why? How could it be permanently damaged because they just weren't working for 43 days? No one asked that obvious question. I am, because we're unintimidated and uncompromised to bring you the truth, whatever it is, and we're asking the hard questions. I want an answer. I want an answer, and so should you demand one too. Because bottom line here, folks, we just have a complete abdication of responsibility. The President Trump is the President of the United States, period. You are obligated by your job description to fix the problems, to take whatever difficulty it is and find a way to get it done. And when you're sitting there telling all of us that you can't even get somebody to crunch some numbers in a computer and that this permanent damage could be done, and then you want to blame your political opponents who literally have no relationship whatsoever to the system. This is all people in your administration that you have access to, that you have control over, as you demonstrated when you fired Erica earlier this summer. You have the complete control over that. You put somebody else in that job, and they still didn't give you numbers you want. So now then, on the heels of this blue wave, you're now going to not put out the data. One wonders, was the job data really bad? Is inflation going up? Because you want to tell everybody all these numbers are getting better. And now that you're just not going to give us the numbers, and you're going to use the excuse of the shutdown as a cover for not putting them out there. And then you want to claim without evidence that it's permanent damage. It's not permanent damage. That's a lie. It's a lie. There's no damage. You can get those numbers in a week or so. Let's give you the benefit of the doubt. And it'll take some time to compile all these things. That's it. A week. I understand how these things work. Anyone does. That's why I said at the top of this show, what annoys me the most, other than being lied to, is being treated like I'm stupid. Like the American people, we're all stupid. We can't see right through this. We do. And listen, for those diehard Republicans, it's hard for them because they don't want to see through it. Because you don't want to believe that the side that you're cheering for is harming you, is treating you like an idiot that thinks that you're just some pathetic mushroom that can be told whatever I want you to, and then you'll just cheer me on and clap, and I'm going to do whatever I feel like doing to my benefit, and I'm just going to expect you to clap and cheer and move on to the side and not say anything negative. Don't do that. I'm not doing that. I've mentioned before, I don't consider myself a Democrat or a Republican. Absolutely. Because both parties disgust me. Just going to be honest. I'm an American, and I love Americans, and I love all the people, even the ones that are Republican, even the ones that are Democrat. Whatever their political persuasion, I could care less. I love the American people. So I'm going to do what I can to hold both parties' feet to the fire. And when the Democrats did some things that were wrong, and we call that out, and we'll continue to do that, by the way, going forward, when we get into the 2026 midterm season, I can only imagine what kind of lies and deception are be coming out from both parties. We're going to call all that out for your benefit. So count on that. But the bottom line that we need to know right now is you're being lied to. The current administration is abdicating their responsibility. They're showing no leadership, and they're not even trying to get the real problems done here. Just taking the easy cop out of just blaming the other side and putting everything on politics while holding themselves harmless to do anything to fix it. That's where we are, folks. And that's one of the big problems that we have in our country, and one of the things we need to get fixed right away. So now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to take the rest of my weekend off and look forward to seeing you Monday on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive.